Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Listen to deeply personal, insightful, and thought-provoking stories from the world's leading thinkers and doers. Listen and subscribe to The Unmistakable Creative wherever you get your podcasts.
We've created a free self-care checklist, and it's ready for you to download today. On the checklist, you'll find 50 brand new ideas to practice self-care. And it's not just bubble baths. Download the free checklist today and be reminded of the importance of practicing self-care. Head to themerrymakersisters.com/self-care. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Get Married podcast. This is episode 368, and we're so excited to be here with you today. I think we're extra excited about this episode because it's super timely with a couple of stuff that's been happening with our friend, all of the messages we've been sending, and our teacher training, and we feel very excited and inspired to share this information, which is, it's funny when this happens.
Yeah, when you're extra excited and I don't know, you just pumped to talk about this subject.
Exactly.
It's nice. It's this is what we're meant to be talking about.
I know. And you've got to follow that.
Follow the bliss.
Yes. Follow that the excitement, fun, that joy, that feeling where it's just you just can't stop talking about it. So this episode is all about, we're going to call it media training. It's not necessarily media training. It is, but it's also so much more. It really is about sharing your story publicly.
And I think, you might not be talking to media. It might just be in a room filled with people. Mm-hmm. It could be a social occasion or it could be a business networking event. It could even be a first date. It's simply about talking to people where you feel nervous. I think, can we call it that?
Talking to people when you feel nervous.
Training.
How to do that. And I think this is so, it's funny when you think about this because, we've both done, when I was studying public relations and we actually, we were studying media training and learning about this, it all can cross over. Because it's for the camera or for the radio or for the podcast doesn't mean it's just for that.
No way. I mean, literally that would help you in every life situation because communication, conversation, relationship building is important in every single field. I mean, even the ones where you think perhaps they're not important. Mm. No, it is important because people, we're a community. And we have millions of different communities, really. We have our friendship communities. We have our work. We have our network. We have the family. It's all extensive, isn't it? And you create new groups of communities all the time.
Yeah. And I think the reason why it's important to kind of focus on this and expanding this skill set is it actually makes life more enjoyable.
Agree.
So, imagine if you could walk into a room where usually you might feel nervous or a little bit out of place. Imagine instead you could walk in and feel confident to have a conversation with anybody.
And I think when you are not naturally this way inclined, you think you cannot develop these skills, but it's completely not true. As someone who was very shy, I was a shy kid. I was the shy kid described that way. Oh, she's just shy. She's shy. She's shy. She doesn't talk much. She's shy. As you can see, things have changed. And that's because I trained myself, though. I practiced.
Yes.
I stepped outside my comfort zone. And absolutely, you can go from feeling super shy and anxious in a room filled with people or perhaps on a podcast interview or in front of a camera getting interviewed for whatever you're passionate about.
Teaching a yoga class.
Yeah, teaching a yoga class. You can be up the front of that class teaching confidently. It just takes a few steps to get to that point.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really interesting thing. And I know with our yoga teacher training coming up, this is one of the questions that we've been getting a lot into our inbox is what if I don't think I can teach? Or can everybody teach? Can anyone teach? Mm. And, one of our teachers said to us in a room full of people when someone asked this exact question? She said, no, like teaching is only for certain people. And I completely disagree.
Yeah.
If you have a drive, if you have a desire to want to teach, you absolutely can learn. Mm-hmm. If you have the right teacher teaching you the right skills.
And I think that message, I feel like, is such a, I don't know, it kind of makes you feel deflated. Mm-hmm. It doesn't inspire, it doesn't motivate. What we will say to you is we'll be honest in that, you know, it might take some people longer than others. Someone might be this natural presenter. Perhaps they're in their past life, they were a news presenter or, you know, they had this
on stage.
Exactly. Like, you know, Carla, you had experience on a stage throughout, I mean, primary school, high school, you were on stage, mm-hmm. college, you were on stage. Obviously, then you are a great presenter because you trained this way in these very formative years. Me, I think I had like two presentations on stage, drama presentations, an Elizabethan one and like this country one. I remember
that was monologue night.
Yeah, monologue night. I did that and I felt so excited and amazing after doing that because I was bloody scared. But, you know, I had far less training. So obviously when we did start teaching, both of us, you were very
on camera
and in person in real life. You know, you were just like, you breezed through it literally, whereas I was like a shaking, sweating, self-doubting mess. Like I needed pep talks from Carla, literally. Without Carla, I would not have been able to teach. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. Like I needed that extra support because it wasn't naturally – it naturally felt horrible.
Yeah, but
I hated it.
And the moral of the story, though, is you went from that to now walking into any room, putting on any camera in front of you, and being able to teach a full-length Pilates class. No doubt, I reckon if I was, like, sick one day, you could probably teach a yoga class. Like, you would, like, I know.
Yeah,
like, you would be able to. Like, you would be able to, like, confidently be like, you know what, we're going to do, like, a Pilates yoga fusion. Let's do this.
And also if I actually dug deep and thought about it, because I've never thought about doing it, it's like, I just need to think about it. I should think about that just in case.
And the other thing is, like, with our, I guess, 10 years of business experience, like, throughout these 10 years, I don't know how many podcast interviews we've done, how many TV interviews we've done, how many radio interviews. I don't know. I can't tell you many. Mm. But that has also really helped. And I think, like, it is, like, the biggest thing is practice, but the bigger thing is preparation. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
Like very simple ways to prepare yourself for any kind of situation where you're talking to somebody, whether that's in a media sense or in a real life situation. If that's a party, if it's a networking event, if you're on stage. And I'm really excited about this because they're simple things, but if you do them, you will feel so much more confident.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love this topic so much. I know,
it's so exciting. All right, so I think the way that we're going to kind of go through these tips is as if we were preparing for a kind of interview.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, this just crosses over to any kind of situation. Any kind of situation. So number one, our tip is to prepare yourself. So see if you can ask for a list of questions that the interviewer might ask you. If that is not possible, then you need to do a little bit of research. Listen to previous episodes. Look at different news segments where these people have interviewed other people. If you're going to a networking event, Google some of the people who you know might be attending and see if you can kind of get a little bit of an idea of what you're going into.
It's like having a little bit more insight, not going in with zero information, just being a tiny bit prepared even, just having like something in your back pocket, like perhaps you're getting interviewed on a national TV show and you can look up something similar that, you know, a person in a similar field that was interviewed 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You could see what that interview was like. Then you could understand, okay, this interviewer, he's a little bit cheeky. okay, we can have fun here. Yeah. Or he's really serious, or she's really serious, or maybe she asks these really like crazy questions, and it's like, okay, be prepared for a little bit like outside the box questions.
Yes. Yeah, so good. And I remember when we would go to, we haven't been to a conference in a long time, because I feel like people, I mean, there are conferences, but the ones that we've been to haven't run. But when we would go to them, we would have a list of attendees who we would to meet. And what we would do is we would like Google them and see like what their business is, like where have they been, have they been traveling lately, like we'd look on their Instagram, we'd literally stalk them.
But that's because I remember someone did that, remember Dan did that at a conference, and like it was
oh my god, I was like crazy.
Geez, I was like, that's insane that you literally have looked up every attendee.
He did every single person.
I mean, it was a small group, and obviously 50. He does Dan does him. We do our version.
We do we.
It's like, it's more like we're kind of like quickly like, oh, they're cool. Like we would get on with them. Or like we love what they do. Like we definitely wouldn't look up everyone and like not into such detail.
No.
But yeah, I think it's really a great idea to just have insight. And if you know a little bit about someone, they will really look highly upon you, you know, like, oh, they did their research.
Yes.
Oh, these guys, like, oh, these girls, like, oh, these people, they're legit. They take this seriously. Mm-hmm. And then they will be more inclined to do a little bit of research on you. Mm-hmm. And especially in a business networking situation, like, this is very important, because relationships are everything.
They really are. Absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So once you've done a little bit of your own research, perhaps you've asked for a list of questions. We've been given lists of questions for podcast interviews before. Our kind of preference is to not have questions, because there is such thing as being too prepared and it not feeling natural. However, you might not work that way. You might work best in being fully prepared.
And I also want to also remember, we have a duo here.
Mm.
There's two of us. So we are very lucky in that we have definitely been able to learn how to not overtalk. Oh, is that the word? Overtalk?
Interrupt.
Interrupt each other too much. Like we're pretty good at that. Every now and again, as you know, if you listen a lot, sometimes we do talk over one another.
We do not.
But we've really learned that. Mm-hmm. But the thing with having two people is that when I lose my point, Carla jumps in. When she loses her point, I jump in. Like we can literally tap each other, SOS, SOS. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times have we been on a podcast interview where I'm like, what the heck was the question? I'm talking about something and I literally have no idea. And I'll even say that. But as long as what you're saying is interesting and good, it really doesn't matter.
Like, agree.
These interviewers, actually every interviewer, whether it's TV, podcast, whatever you're getting interviewed on, if you're being interesting, educational, entertaining, they don't really care what you're saying, as long as it's not like illegal or, you know, like,
yeah, unless it's like swearing, a terrible thing.
Yeah, a terrible thing. Like, you know, we're talking about like if you're telling a cool story but the question was nothing to do with it,
what did you have for breakfast?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, That's a good point to add. Like, be educational, be entertaining, be interesting.
Mm.
Like, what do you like to listen to on an interview or a podcast? Listen and learn. Listen and base your kind of like base yours off them. If you like what you're seeing,
mm-hmm.
what can you learn from that, and what can you take? But make it yours.
Yeah. I mean, we're forever doing this, like not just listening to podcasts and things. Like we'll go into like real life businesses and we'll be like, why is this place so popular? Like what do we like about this? And like we'll always question things. You can learn so much from not just from like, you know, podcasts like this where we're actually teaching you something or sharing something with you, but just from experiencing something. And I think if you can be that kind of person where you learn from like just experiencing things, that's a very big talent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So step one, ask for the list of questions, prepare yourself, look at previous interviews, maybe do a little bit of research of who you're going to meet.
And like literally when we say this, it's like don't look at 100 interviews.
No.
Look at two. Like just a few.
And even like not even snippets. The whole one.
Yeah, just like snippets.
Or like read the show notes if they've got show notes. Yeah. Like get a bit of a briefing.
I just think when you – okay, like if you had watched something with the interviewer or heard something – you will feel more confident you won't be so on the spot because you're like, I feel more prepared. I did my research. I put my best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great thing.
So
it's
the nerves will be less. Yeah,
it's like think back to school when you hadn't practiced your speech and you just had your palm cards and you were like, I'm just going to wing it. And like, you probably didn't do as good as you probably could have.
Look, I'm the queen of winging it and I don't always recommend it. I mean, I did wing your wedding speech. I would say.
You did very well.
I did great.
You did good. You had pauses, pause for drama, pause for funny. So fun. Okay, so let's move on to the next step. Now, these two steps do kind of intertwine and we will loop it all back together once we've talked about step two. Step two is have your key messages. And I was thinking about this because we were talking to our friend about key messages last week and I was remembering back to my studying days, which is like, oh my God, so long ago now, which is so crazy. When I got my degree in public relations, key messages was absolutely drilled into us. And when I first heard about them, I had no idea what they meant. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And now I can see how important these are by using them in our business.
Yes.
So I think this real life experience, God, it changes everything.
And I think like obviously big corporations and companies need these. Like I remember from when we worked at NCC, mm-hmm. National Convention Center in Canberra, which is affiliated and managed by IHG Group, Intercontinental Hotel Group. This is a massive international company. So obviously they need like this, what's the word? Like
overarching
structure, you know, company structure. They needed key messages. They needed to tell you this stuff. So like it could translate to countries, international countries. Mm. So, you know, the brand was transpired through all these different cultures and people and places. So, I mean, we had great lessons in that. Like, oh, these are our key messages. This is what we have to do. That's obvious. But at a personal level, we can also have key messages, even if all you're representing is yourself.
Mm.
Even it's like I don't want to be too like, curated. Like we're not, it's not like we're creating our own brand, but maybe we are creating our own brand. Like it's a representation of us. Yeah. And how do we translate that in as short a time as possible? Because these interviews and these things, they're not long. Like if you get called up and you're like, example, oh, you've won this award, best gelato in Australia. Like you need to know what your key messages are because you're going to have about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's if you're lucky.
1 minute.
Even. Yeah. And like remember that if it's not live, it also gets edited.
And also that is who our friend is, Majda. Well done.
Yeah, well done. You won. That's amazing. Everyone go try out that Lindt 60% gelato, which I have tried and it is very good.
It's in Southport Ferry Road Market.
We'll put a link to it. No, key messages. So a couple of things about key messages. Let's bring it back to the business sense. Let's bring it back to like if we were actually representing a brand or your own business or a company. You want to have 3 to 5 key messages, like overarching key messages, and these will change depending on the interview, depending on what's happening, whether it is like a timely interview like an award or whether it's like more of a you're just being interviewed because you're an expert in this field kind of thing. Any media, let me just like underline this, any media is an opportunity for you to get free advertising. Like this is what PR is. And I just think like it is such an opportunity and it is an exciting thing that you can kind of really grab onto. And if you've got your key messages, it can be such an amazing outcome.
Yes.
Gosh. So key messages, most important to least important. That is the most important thing you need to remember. Like what is the overarching message you want to get across? What is the one sentence you want to make sure you say in this interview, and then have a few others, but they will be less important.
Yes.
Because you might not get the opportunity to say them.
Get the first two done and that's successful.
Boom.
If you get all 5 done, you're amazing. You managed to do it.
Yes.
And I will also say like practice this, like create, at home situations, get your friend to ask you questions. Even get your friend to ask questions that you're not prepared for, even better. Be on the spot. Imagine the camera in front of you. Like feel what you're going to feel.
Film yourself with your camera.
Film yourself and watch yourself.
And don't be too critical.
Yeah, don't be too critical. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
you're just trying. Just
exactly.
Practicing.
And people like natural. Like, we don't want too, we don't want too perfectly curated. Like, we do like natural things, right? Like, I like to see someone who I relate to. Mm-hmm. And I relate to people who can laugh.
Who are real.
Who are funny. Who have great stories. You know, they might say or like. It doesn't matter. They might stuff up a word. It doesn't matter. You just keep going. You laugh it off. It's normal. It's real. That's what people like.
Yeah. Okay. So now that we've talked about these key messages, how do they link to that first point? And this is where it gets interesting, because even you can do all the research that you want, you can ask for all the questions, they might not ask you those questions. That is the truth. So we want to make sure that when we're answering the questions that the interviewer has asked us, that we also magically, seamlessly weave our key message into the answer.
Yes, because there's nothing worse than, like, they ask a random question and then you just list your key messages that like, you know, when I said that bit about, like, if you're not answering the question, but if you're just saying buy my book or sign up to my course, this isn't going to work. This is going to put people off you. I mean, we have experienced this. We've interviewed people where it was like, we didn't ask anything about their book and it's like, my book, my book, my book, my book.
In my book.
In my book.
Do you know what? Some media trainers.
I think she wants us to buy her book.
Some media trainers will tell you to do that.
I think it's terrible.
I'm going to say don't do that, because a great lesson that I think we also learned from Dan, thanks Dan, was be interesting, and therefore people will then seek more information out about you. Yes. I'm not saying don't promote the next logical step for the person who's listening, because that is one of the points here that we will talk about. But I am saying don't just promote your course or your online program or your training or your book or your event where it doesn't even make sense.
But also, like, do it once or twice,
not like continuously.
You don't need to keep doing it. Like, it doesn't work. I don't know. It makes me cringe. It puts me off, and I'm sure I'm like every regular human out there. Yeah. I'm sure many people feel the same. Like, I hate it.
I can remember, like, interviewing people, and like, as soon as they would say something like, in my book, in my course, I would get like, it would be like a internal aversion.
Yeah. And I must say, like, probably sometimes I do say in Mary Body, like, I probably do that a lot, but I feel like Mary Body's different.
Oh, wait, No, it's more. Look,
no, we're perfect, obviously.
We have nothing to change about ourselves. We're clearly joking. No, I think when it's OTT.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely say it once, say it maybe twice, and then let's leave that. We know you have a book now.
Yeah.
So let's then finish on key messages here with have a little idea of, like, what would you like the listeners to do next?
Yes.
And this is important not just in interviews, not just when you're on TV or radio. This is also important with, like, social media and stories that you're sharing on Instagram or writing or blogging or newsletters. Have a next logical step. That might be something free. I think this is a really good idea. Have something of value that is absolutely free where these people can go and find more information out about you.
So it means, okay, if you are online based, what can you give away for free? We give free Pilates classes, meditations.
Give free trials.
Free trials. You give us your email. We'll give you this free stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you're on our list and we'll send you our newsletter. Mm-hmm. We have opened up that communication. Let's do the ice cream example, gelato. Okay, we're doing free samples today, or we're doing free samples on this Saturday week of our winning flavor. Boom. All right. Like, who's going to be there?
Everyone.
And who's what? Like, that
who
is
wants
such,
free gelato?
That is such a next logical step for this kind of situation because, boom, you've got a national television interview or even a local television interview
what do you want people to do? You want people to come and try it.
Definitely I would put a big flashy sign up as well, like winner. Like you need to have that winner, winner, winner. Like especially if you're in an area where it gets passerby mm-hmm. traffic. If you have foot traffic, you need some signs that stand out. I mean, it's these tiny little things that they are simple and obvious, but like sometimes you forget about it. Mm. And especially when you do have an opportunity like the TV or the national thing, like these don't come by every day. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, like it's you get these opportunities and you forget that actually it's amazing.
Yes.
But this is why big companies have media teams because it's not your job if you're not in media to know all this stuff. This is a specialized job and obviously – us being in our own small business, we've kind of had to be the
media person.
Media. And also because you did do your PR studies, like, and I did study events and advertising. So we actually do have a background in communications and this kind of stuff. Like we're passionate about communication.
Yes. We are. We love it. Did you notice? So now that we've talked about key messages and then also weaving your key messages into the answers of the questions that you might be getting, one of the easiest ways or one of the best ways I would say, and this is what number three, to weave your key messages in or to get your point across, your opinion across, is to bring in story.
Mm.
So we do this all the time, Emmy, when we're getting interviewed and someone asks us about, like, I don't know, acceptance or something.
Mm.
Rather than explaining what self-acceptance is, we weave in a story about us or we yes. Or about a member or something like that, something where we've seen it actually happen. And the reason why this works really well is because people love story.
Well, let's think about it. What are we all watching every night?
Netflix. Stories, but they're stories.
They are.
It's stories. What have we been reading since like whenever books were invented?
Stories.
Like the original story. Like it's the same story over and over, the hero's journey, but it always works. It always communicates messages that translates to real life. Even the most fictional, outrageous, like not true stories relate to real life.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're getting interviewed, what is your story and how can you relate to other people? When they are listening, they'll be like, oh, I see myself in that story.
Mm.
And it might not be like one overarching story. It could be many, many stories. It could be that you have a story for each and every small key message that you have. And the reason why story works so well is because people connect with that and people understand through story. So instead of saying you should practice self-acceptance, we tell a story about how our lives were changed through this practice. And that's where people are like, oh my gosh, like Emma and Carla, like they used to like loathe their bodies and they used to do X, Y, Z and I still do that. But look at their journey from A to B and now their lives are completely different. And like that is inspiring because the listener has I guess understood a change or not a transformation, I want to use that word, but like a journey, an experience that you've gone through.
And they think, I wonder if I can do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I should sign up to their newsletter or their freebie and learn from them.
Yes.
Be inspired by them. And I think also obviously connects, relates. It's also memorable.
Yes.
And I mean, we had this great lesson from Ken, who we still catch up with. He's from Canberra and he's an amazing businessman. And like this lesson, I know we've talked about it before, but we'll continue to talk about it again and again because it really helped us. Have a story, memorize your story, make it memorable. So, I mean, he even suggested if you need to embellish a tiny bit, you know, to make it a bit more exciting, like feel free to do this. And like, I feel like that's fine too. Like if you need to like exaggerate a tiny bit just to have your story a little bit more entertaining, it's okay. We're not talking about creating a big fabricated lie. It might just be that, I don't know, that I'm trying to think of a little fabrication, but I can't think
maybe of it. It's like Well, even though this was actually our story, but say, for example, you had a sister and you both quit your jobs on the same day at the same time and you sent exactly the same resignation email at exactly the same time. We actually did that. But say, for example, you guys sent it like on different days. Like maybe you would make up the story that you sent it on the same day.
And
like
we actually did.
But yeah, that's a good example. Take our story and use our story.
Yeah, if you're sisters, if you're not sisters,
don't lie about being
sisters.
That's
too much of a lie.
Yeah. So like have your line that you don't cross.
It's like a slight exaggeration, not a lie.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm not telling you to lie.
Yeah.
But it might be just to make it a bit more exciting.
It's just like something like, I don't know, maybe you say like, and there was like 50 people there, and like maybe you say there was like 100 people there.
It's like,
you
know, these tiny little things
that actually don't make any kind of difference.
But like, it could be your story. I mean, how you got into something, you know, like you could describe this in a more exciting way perhaps than what it actually
was. And maybe it's like also what Ken was saying, because I'm just thinking about this more, was like that's what he was saying. Like when you do tell your story, tell it in a way that's exciting.
Yes.
Because sometimes we can look at our own personal stories and be like, well, that's just my life. Like that's just what happened.
So but true.
In the way that you tell it, it can be more exciting.
It's so true. That's so true.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's really important actually, because from an outsider perspective, someone who's never heard about you or from you, like they might be interested. So don't talk about your life like it's just this normal, regular thing.
Yes.
Like it is this normal, regular thing, but like obviously you're getting interviewed for some reason. Like they don't just pick someone for no reason. Like they want to hear from you.
Yeah.
These companies or these podcasts, these news outlets or whatever, magazines, whatever it might be, they want good content and they've chosen you.
Yeah. Like as an example, let's come back to our ice cream friend, Majda, because she got interviewed on the Today Show and they asked her this question, like, how did you get into this? And I was like, wow, this is like perfect opportunity story. Like this is where you tell the story. And like Majda's story is really cool. Like she was studying uni in Italy.
Yes.
Like I want to know, okay, Majda, tell me what town you were in Italy, because there's, you know, there's a romance about that as well. Like,
yeah,
especially us Australians, we're like, what, you studied uni in Italy? Like,
well, you're from Italy.
Yeah.
And also the fact that she was studying pharmacy. So it's like, you know, what are you doing studying that? Like that's chemicals. And like, what is gelato? Yeah, you're mixing things. You're creating these experimental flavors, but it's just a whole lot sexier being gelato and not medicine.
Yeah, and also
for me anyway. Yeah, maybe medicine is sexy. I don't know. Gelato is sexier.
Being gelato and like you being Italian and like studying in Italy, like lots of little key things like that could be weaved into that to make that story like, oh my God, I've got to go try this ice cream.
And I also want to mention, because like obviously, you know, Majda, I'm going to give you this message. Well done to you as well, because obviously English is your second language. And I think anyone who has English, or, you know, maybe you're in Italy and English is your first language and Italian is your second language, whatever. If you're doing an interview in your second language, just be yourself, be proud, and know that you're amazing. And anyone who is judgmental of you is absolutely ignorant. And to everyone who's ever judged someone in a second language and like being a bit like, oh, like what are they talking
impatient
about? Just remember that these guys have learned a whole new language. And if you only know one, like me, we're the dum-dum. Seriously.
I agree.
Like, I think like, obviously, being with someone who is a second language English person, I don't know how you say that better, and like meeting a lot more people, you're a whole lot more compassionate and understanding, and like your eyes are opened. Sometimes I feel like shame on me for not being so compassionate and understanding before. And it, not that I was ever rude, but I definitely wasn't as
empathetic
or, you know, in awe of these people who have picked up their lives and traveled across the freaking globe. And like, if they experience any kind of judgment or racism for this, it makes me so mad. And if we can advocate for this and stand up for these people and be more understanding and empathetic, good. Because it's a horrible thing that in many countries there is still this judgment and racism.
Yeah, I think that that's an amazing point to add, and something that I am really glad that my eyes have been opened to and my mind has been opened to, because, yeah, it just is these migrants who travel and like literally need to learn a whole new language, not just spoken. Like these people can write as well.
I'm like, you guys are very smart.
It's like, you guys are too smart. Your brains are too good. And then, yeah, I just think it's actually insanely intelligent. Like that is what it is.
It is. So, it is. And for someone who is trying to learn another language, I'm going to tell you, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. It's really hard. And I mean, like, I know there's these natural people who can speak like seven languages. All right, for you, it's not that hard. But like,
for the normies out here.
Yeah. Normie. Really hard. I'm a normal person.
But no, Majda did so well. Yeah. And absolutely. Because that is another difficult thing. Like, it would have been a totally different story. Like, you know, if it was an Italian in Italy, imagine you trying to get interviewed in Italian. Good luck.
All right. They will be laughing me off the TV. They'd be like, who is this girl?
She said my sister's dog. Like, you know that one, right?
Mia Sorella, you can't. I think that's right.
I really want to, and I want to finish on this, I know, like this very important next kind of point about being interviewed. And potentially it's a really hard one to overcome. And this is to not worry about what you look like.
Yes.
Because when you've got cameras in your face, when you've got a microphone in front of you, suddenly you just feel like obviously all eyes are on you and you get nervous about, is my shirt this? Is my hair this? Is my face this? Do I look okay? What's my facial expression? I don't know. Do I have to smile? And I just think if we can lose the thoughts about this and just focus on the question, life will be a lot easier. This is really hard though, especially if you are not used to being in front of a camera. Because as soon as a camera lights are put in front of you, it's like stage fright.
Well, I mean, I think about when we first did Marybody until like to now, and like I'm totally different now. Like I'm way more natural. Like being in front of a camera doesn't faze me at all. So practice obviously helps a lot. But I mean, mostly if you're getting interviewed, it's not like an everyday thing. It's like an every now and then thing. So how do we move past that? How do we get through the stage fright? Because it's okay if you feel nervous. Like it can be a good thing too, because that means you care about the result. That means you want to try. So that's a good thing. Sometimes it's like shifting our thoughts around the nerves, because sometimes it's like, oh my God, I'm nervous. I hate this feeling. It's so bad. And then you're like feeling even worse than just nervous. We like to look at nervous is also excitement. Yes. So if you can kind of like look at, all right, I'm really excited. I'm excited to get my message across. I think like getting to know or like creating a little conversation with the camera people help. So if you can somehow like build that rapport, I mean, that's their job too, like as a camera person or interviewer or whatever. Like
to make
like,
you feel comfortable.
That's their jobs, isn't it? To get the talent who they're interviewing, to get them feeling comfortable, because they want them to obviously create good content.
Yeah. Look, I hope that is some intention. Yeah, I don't think that everyone is so wonderful.
I'm just like thinking about all the times that we've had interviews. I mean, and like even photo shoots. Remember that photo shoot we did in Sydney? And it was like a sister photo shoot. It was so awful. And they made us wear these disgusting clothes and our hair.
They slicked my hair back. And I was like, I hate my hair like this.
It was such a bad photo shoot.
Yeah, but that was our bad, because we didn't put our foot down.
Yeah.
And this is another thing. Like, if you're not comfortable saying something or answering a question, you don't have to.
Yeah. What about live TV? Because that's harder, obviously, because live you can't just be like, I'm not going to answer that. I mean, you can. Obviously you can do it in
you could do was it Kim Kardashian who pretended to be frozen? Or that was one of the Kardashians.
Did she actually?
Yeah, they asked her a question and they pretended. I don't know which one it was. It was one of them. She pretended to like lose connection and to freeze, but she wasn't. Like, as in, like,
so it wasn't in studio.
It wasn't in studio. It was like, it was on camera. Like, they were in America and they were in Australia. God. And they were asking a question about, I think, some kind of drama. And yeah, she pretended that it froze, but you could tell that it wasn't frozen because, like, her eyes were moving.
Oh my God.
But I was like, oh, well, good on her. She didn't want to answer that question.
I mean, it's true. We shouldn't have to feel like we need to answer it, even if it is live. Like, if you feel like this is crossing a boundary, hell no, don't answer it.
I think you have a key message. Like, if they're, like, obviously, like, if that's happening, there might be something controversial, like, around what you're doing. Yes, so preempt that. And this is why it's important to do your research. Preempt the sticky questions and how you're going to go about that.
I mean, like, literally, this is why big companies have PR representation. Like, they hire someone to deflect, because
deflect.
It's like, and they're the most annoying interviews really ever, because you're like, they're not answering the question. They just keep, like, painting this other picture and spinning. It's spinning, story spinning. And, like, although you study PR and, like, you got taught that, really.
Yeah.
Like, I also hate it, because it's like, well, open communication is also important. And we're not really talking about that. Like, if you're getting interviewed for something, usually it's like an exciting thing. But perhaps it is for something, like, horrible as well. So that's when you do.
We can give you an example of where, like, a media opportunity blew up in our face. Mm-hmm. And that was when we got interviewed on SBS Insight.
Oh my God, that was so bad.
And we were under the impression that this was going to be a very great interview for us, that it was all going to be about our business and our success and rah, rah, rah. And then we got thrown into the studio, and it was actually about eating disorders, and they were pretty much saying that we contribute eating disorders.
Isn't that so insane that we didn't even know the episode was on eating disorders?
No, they didn't tell us.
My God.
And so, you know, this was a situation where we were asked questions and we really didn't know how to answer them.
Can I just say, if we had have listened to future Emma and Carla talking about this, we would have done a lot more. Like, we would have asked more questions, and we would have watched a few more episodes of SBS Inside and realized, hey, like, these guys do some dirty things here. Like,
yeah, and maybe this isn't the show for us. Maybe we should say no.
Yeah. And they also do some great things, obviously, too. It's just that they used the wrong people.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't. I don't know. We've talked about this before. Yeah. Maybe we did need to
It was great, because it pointed us toward everybody. And so we are grateful for that. But, yeah, so that is just like an example where we experienced that, and we didn't have an idea of how we would answer that question. No. But perhaps if we did, we would have felt a lot better about that experience. But, yeah, have an idea, like, if there is anything that might come up where you actually don't want to answer that question, or how you're going to go about that, and have your answer in your mind. And practice.
And you can walk out of an interview. Yeah. That's what we should have done.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
No one's forcing you to stay anywhere. You can turn your Zoom call off. Yeah. You can hang up that phone call. You can say, oh, this interview's over on national live TV. Yeah. I don't care what you do. Like, if you are, and no one else really does either.
Yeah.
Like, this is your life.
And you can talk about what you want to talk about. Yeah. Like, if they're asking a question, you can literally say, oh, I don't feel comfortable answering that, but blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, I don't know about that, but blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you know, that's a good
thing. That's where you have your key messages. I'm not sure, but dot, 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 key message, your story, filter through what your message is. Although the interviewer seems to have control, you can take control of the situation. Yeah. You can be really confident and, you know, get the stuff you want to talk about across.
Mm.
And you can also do it in a fun way.
Yeah, and I just want to add, like, as a last point, that what you just said there was, like, you know, I don't know about that. Because when you're getting interviewed, sometimes you feel, and this is like, I remember in the early days, we felt this. Sometimes you feel you have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
And that you're the expert. Like, how you need to know this. It's not true. You can say, I don't know about that. I might need to look into that. I want to do a bit more research on that, actually. I've never thought about that. like all these things you can say. And again, this makes you more relatable.
Yes.
If someone is watching and or listening and they hear you say, I don't know, I'm going to go research more, they're like, oh, cool, this person's normal.
Yeah.
This person's or, just like me.
Or you can say, I don't know, but my acquaintance or my colleague is like an expert in this. Like, be sure to check her out or him out.
Yes.
I mean, this is a great thing too, to mention other people in interviews. Also another thing, like, to connect yourself it's also good, like, as in if you do it for each other, this helps you as well. Yeah. Like, if you have someone mentioning you in their interview, oh my, amazing. And you can have this kind of relationship to help each other that
Amplify
way.
Amplify each other.
Yes. I think it's really exciting. And I think this information is really so good. Like, I love this episode much. So if you know anyone who, I don't know, recently got interviewed and feel like they completely sucked, send them this.
If they feel like they sucked.
Oh, yeah, not you. Sorry.
That's me. Well,
maybe you thought that too. No. I mean, like, if they are talking about, like, if they struggled.
Yes.
Or maybe someone has an opportunity next week and you're like, wait, this is exactly what this person needs.
Yes.
Or maybe you need this. Awesome.
Yeah, which I'm really excited. Like, so this is going to be covered off more. And I'm going to mention our Marybody Teacher Training because it's relevant. I'm going to plug it. Our Marybody Teacher Training, like, this is, I guess, one of the big differences with our training is that we will be including information like this about business. Because one thing that when I did research before we started our training, when I was, like, asking people who've done other trainings, the one thing that everyone said was, like, they didn't feel prepared after their training, one, to teach a class, which is crazy in my mind, and two, to have a business and to talk about their business. We've had 10 years now of experience, and I'm beyond excited that this information is also going to be included in our yoga teacher training. Like, it's not just about yoga and philosophy. That is a big part, but it's going to be lots of this as well.
And the thing is, this information isn't just useful for, like, business and work stuff.
No.
It's really useful for personal development. I mean, if you can walk into a room and feel more confident to be yourself, to meet new people, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
It makes life, as you said, a little bit more enjoyable, with less anxiety, less stress, less self-doubt. I mean, life is short. Less self-doubt is a great thing.
I agree. So if you want more information on that, our amazing Rose is going to pop a link in the show notes. So go and check out our teacher training. I'm really excited about it. Otherwise, we'll be back in your ears next week with a brand new episode. If you loved this one, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Give us a 5-star rating and message us on Instagram if you take any of this advice and implement it.
And thanks, Majda, for being the best example. You seriously did amazing, and you should be very proud of yourself. And thank you for inspiring this episode.
Love you lots.
Bye.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Listen to deeply personal, insightful, and thought-provoking stories from the world's leading thinkers and doers. Listen and subscribe to The Unmistakable Creative wherever you get your podcasts.